book. And so DC and Doug said, "Where's Eddie?" And Brandon said, "Eddie had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple miles back up the trail." I said, "You left Eddie laying out there and carried the deer back?" And he said, "Tough call," he said, "but I figured no one would steal Eddie." I heard that was true. I don't know. Isn't God good? Now, we got something very, very, very special today. And so I want us all, this is a two-parter, and this is actually the introduction. So get out your Bible, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. You got your Bible, say amen. Psalm 23. I turned to Isaiah 23. I was going, that don't look like Psalm 23. Not only am I colorblind, I'm blind. Amen. All right. Psalm 23, stand for the reading of the word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want us to focus right here on verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch and anointing. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. And we know, God, there's nothing, absolutely nothing impossible for you. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint. Lord, let nothing be said through strife or vainglory, but let everything be said, Lord, to glorify your name and to edify your body. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, 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 amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And on the way down, look at somebody seriously and say, the past, there you go. Look at somebody behind, beside you in the eye and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing, and nothing, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen? God is. Go ahead again. That's right. All right. So we're going to go. This is the introduction. And it's probably going to be like my normal introductions, which is very long, but that'll be okay. All right. So now, I'm going to ask everybody a question. What do you get? I talk about it all the time. You've heard me say it a million times. What do you get in a land where all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? You're getting a hit of me, but okay. What do you get every day? Because I say it all the time. With sunshine and no rain. Number one, believe it or not, you get no balance in your life. Everything seems to be handed to you on a silver platter. It's hunky-dory all the time. Have no problems, man. I'm living the life. Isn't it good? Nothing goes wrong. So you don't have any balance. Number two, your growth is stunted. Your growth is blocked. Because if all you got is sunshine, you don't know what it's like to go through trouble. Next, you're unthankful. Because everything's I've noticed people that have everything handed to them literally on a silver platter usually are unthankful people. Because they just get everything given to them. It's like they don't have to work for anything. It's just always give to them. And not only that, but their life is bland. It's boring. Man, if all we have was sunshine and no rain, that life would be absolutely boring. I promise you weren't boring this morning when I heard that there was a tornado sales over here in Aurora, and the possibility there were warnings, and said there might be some touchdowns. And DC called me and said, "Daddy, I'm on the way over there, and if something does touch down, I won't be at church." I said, "I understand, that's your job. You go get them, son." And so just stay out of the way of that funnel. Do not get in that funnel, because I promise you, you won't get a funnel cake. Amen. It will not be good. I remember, I didn't put it up here, but I remember years ago when I was at Fountain Power Boats, there was this big old husky guy. Now he's a police captain or whatever it is he does, but he's in charge of a whole bunch of guys on the police force, whether he's captain or chief or whatever. I remember one day when he was working in Fountain, he came up to my office and he sat down at my chair beside my desk. And he burst into tears. And I said, burst into tears. I said, "Dude, what's going on?" He said, "My wife just came back from the doctor. And the baby that we're carrying, the brain is not developing. And they want us to abort it." And I prayed with him. And he went back down to his station because he was a supervisor. Is I got to go. He went back down to his station. And the Lord gave this to me, Genesis 22, where Abraham gave up Isaac. And I just wrote Genesis 22. I printed it out, actually. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And I told him, "We're going to pray every day for that child." He said, "I'm not going to abort it." I said, "You don't have to abort your child. We're going to trust God." He said, "Come what may, I'm not going to abort my child." And he came up to me a couple months later, just before the baby was born, and he almost flew up the stairs. He had a grin from ear to ear, and I said, "What is it, man?" He said, "He just done another test," and they said that out of nowhere, his brain started growing. And I remember going to the hospital to see that baby, and it was just as fine could be. That baby now is 20-something years old, and if I'm not mistaken, he may be in law enforcement now. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. But if you've been through the fire and you walked out and you didn't smell the singe, you've been through the fire and you come out and you're still standing, you go through the fire and you come out and you're not coughing because of the fire, and you can tell everybody there was somebody in there with me, and it wasn't my family. They were there too, but I saw that fourth man. Then you know what it's like to trust God in the middle of hell busting loose. Amen? So now, here it is. You're right. What do you get? You already got it. A desert. So, some examples of valleys in life. There's the valley of trouble, Joshua chapter 7. Achan had taken what belonged to the Lord and put it under his own bed and said, "I can get away with this. God said I should have given it to him, but I took it anyway. And I hid it." And everybody suffered because of his greed and because he didn't put God first. And so God said, "You take Achan and everything he owns, and you take him in that valley, and I want you to stone him. Just go ahead and stone him and then cover up with stones." And when he covered it up, the Bible says that they called it the Valley of Achor, which means in the New Living Translation, the Valley of Trouble. All of us have got trouble in our lives. If you don't think you got trouble, you got trouble if you don't think you ever have trouble. Number two, the Valley of Weeping. Psalm 84, 6 says, "My people make it a wail when they go through the valley of weeping. Every last one of us have valleys. When Bethany was sick and Bethany was dying, I saw the valley of trouble and I saw the valley of weeping, because it's just so precious for what she was to our family. And then deep darkness, Psalm 23 and 4. Yea, the walk to the valley. Look at that picture coming up. Yea, the walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So chicken walking by Colonel Sanders' place. Just in case y'all couldn't see it. He was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay. So now, let's just talk a little bit. We got more talking to do. I'm going to go through some things, and I'm going to sit down, and we're going to chat for a while, okay? First, know this, that dark valleys are unavoidable. You cannot get around them. The Bible says that in Job chapter 5, verse 7, mankind is born for trouble as surely as sparks fly upwards. Not only unavoidable, it's unpredictable. You can't plan them or time them. Usually when something happens, it's at the worst possible time, like the tornadoes this morning. It was time for church. They're talking about tornadoes down here. You know, so at the worst possible time, you know, my mama, when Daddy was getting ready to retire and open his own shop, mama got real sick with the diabetes. Then when she started getting through the diabetes after she had lost her legs and her eyes and her heart and her kidneys, at least she could at least get around some. Until then, she got the cancer in her belly. And all this happened at the same time that Daddy was planning to take it easy with Mama. Never happened. Disaster after disaster is reported, for the whole land is destroyed. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my tent curtains in a moment. Jeremiah 4 and 20. They're so unpredictable. And not only that, but they're impartial. He caused the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 5, 45. Remember I told you a little while back, Bethany was getting ready. She was close to dying. And I'm in there on a Saturday morning and I'd gotten up and I was looking out the window and I saw this older lady come up and I saw, and I was getting ready to get some coffee. She had somebody, a loved one in there, and she was getting some coffee, and I asked her how was she doing, and she looked like she was really beat. And I asked her, how was she doing? And she told me, and I said, well, who you got up here? Not have you got somebody, who you got up here? And she said, my son. And she said, he is a brain surgeon. So here was Bethany, and I'm not making fun of anybody's job at all. I'm just trying to show you the comparison. Here was Bethany, who was a clerk at the Dollar Tree and a brain surgeon. It didn't matter. They both died of cancer. So don't think that you're going to be above trouble. Don't think you're going to be above trial. No matter how much you know, no matter how much you praise God, no matter how much you love God, don't think that you can get out of trouble. It's coming, those dark valleys. Next, here's one of my favorites, is dark valleys are only temporary. He said, yea, thou walk through the valley. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Something about valleys, here it goes. Valleys, number one, have a beginning, but they also have an end. Valleys don't last forever, and they're not our permanent residence. Yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You got to know this right now. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. 1 Peter 5 and 10. Now let me just, I'm getting ready to sit down. I know this is an introduction, but I'm getting ready to put the plow down. Y'all say put the plow down, Pastor. All right. Next. Dark valleys have a purpose. Believe it or not, there's a purpose in your pain. There's a purpose in your problem. Even though you find the purpose is about to drive you crazy, pull you apart, destroy you. If God allowed it, it's got a purpose. Maybe that purpose is for building you. Maybe that purpose is for building somebody else. Maybe you're being an example for somebody else, but your valley has a purpose. You rejoice in this, and now for a short time, you have had to be distressed by various trials so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perisheth though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:6-7. So here we are. Remember, what did I just say? There's a purpose in your pain. God has a reason for taking you through dark valleys. He doesn't say He parks us there. He takes us through dark valleys. In that valley, you'll find doubt, despair, discouragement, defeat, financial problems, relational problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems. Wait a minute. I thought I was crossing every T and dotting every I. Maybe so. But that doesn't make you immune from problems. Remember earlier? The armor does not prevent spiritual warfare. It just helps you to survive in the onslaught of the enemy. Our promises, God's promises, will get you through these people or these problems in time. So let me just talk a little bit. Life's valleys and dark seasons can challenge even the strongest faith. I'm going to let that sit a while. Have you ever been so challenged and under such a dry season or a dark season or a valley that you even begin to find your faith challenged? The Bible says in James that the trying of your faith, the trying of your faith, meaning the very foundation that you stand on, that you trust in, when that foundation is tested and tried and you're ready to throw in the towel, that's how it makes you perfect and complete. Because then you understand and you can help others. Because now you've been there and you came out. In Psalm 23:4, we discover some powerful truths about navigating through these difficult times and these trials and these valleys. Navigating through the problems while maintaining trust in God's guidance in His presence. So why do we go through dark valleys? You got to understand something. David, as he's writing this psalm, he's a shepherd. And he knows that in order to feed his sheep the good stuff, sometimes in order to get to the good stuff, you got to pass through the bad stuff. This isn't grass is greener on the other side. This is God's got a path of righteousness for you. And in this path of righteousness, there's some hard stuff. But on the other side is a promise. So, sometimes the path of righteousness leads us to those challenging valleys, these difficult seasons. Know this. These difficult seasons are not punishment. They're opportunities for growth. Remember Gideon, when his 300 men went around the enemy and they put the torches in a clay vase, they were concealing the fire. And when the time was right, they burst those jars, and all of a sudden when they burst the jars, the air immediately swept up the flame and it burst. And it said the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And the guys, all those guys, numbered as the number of the sand on the sea, went crazy because they saw the light. Some of us right now, we're carrying those vessels or carrying that torch in those clay vessels, and they haven't been cracked. They haven't been broken. And honestly, although you're doing good for God, really doing good for God, it's in the cracks that people see the glory of God. It's when you're challenged to the point you want to give up, throw in the towel, and your vessel's cracked. That's when God shines the best through you. So it's not time to give up. It's time to hold on. Because if your vessel's cracked and His glory's being shown, something special is getting ready to happen. Just as a shepherd sometimes moves sheep from one pasture to another through challenging terrain, which that's what the Valley of the Shadow of Death was. They called it that because it was a very narrow place that they had to lead the sheep through. You could look down and you could see one little fall and you were gone. When you see Jesus in this picture reaching down on the side of the cliff and picking up that sheep, you know where they were at? The Valley of the Shadow of Death. And when the sheep fell over, He reached over and pulled the sheep up and saved it. So in the Valley of the Shadow of Death, you're not going to fall all the way. God's going to catch you. But just know that challenging terrain actually is you learning to listen to God's guidance and God's omnipotence and God's omnipresence. And so you're going through the tough stuff. And the cracks just keep happening. But just know, every crack, God's light shines through. And you become a greater witness, although you don't know it, although you don't feel it. How many remember when you were younger and you go to visit Aunt Sally or Uncle Paul and they would go, man, you have grown a weed. I mean, you've grown a foot since last time I saw you. Growing like a weed, yeah, and you've grown a foot since the last time I saw you. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm just like I was last time I saw you, just my pants are coming up to here now. See, I can't see it because I'm the one growing. But people that don't see you, they can see the growth. They can see what's happening. They can sense what's happening as things start gelling together, as things start coming together. It's like a group of musicians. You get a group of musicians together, and not all of them are going to have the same level of music ability. And sometimes they have to help each other until they learn how to do it. And eventually they gel. And when they gel, they let their personality come out. And then their playing is awesome. But for the first few months, wow. When I first learned how to play the bass, I was in a revival. And the Lord spoke to me and said, and Burt Boyd was in there in the same altar call I was in. The other guy was up playing. And he had a Les Paul and he would get with it. And I felt the Lord say, good, and there was a bass sitting up there. Nobody was playing it. And the Lord said, go play that bass. And I said, I can't play that bass. And the Lord kept getting on me and getting on me. So finally the evangelist got up and grabbed the bass. I said, see, you don't need me. Paul Keeter. He was up there and I said, and the Lord said, I didn't call Paul Keeter to play at this church. I called you. Now get up there. And I got up and Paul Keeter said, this is a G, this is a C, this is a D. Kind of average Church of God notes. And I started playing. I picked them and just started playing. It was amazing. And they were shouting. Everything was going on. The next Sunday, I started playing. And in a couple of weeks, Bert was playing and Ray was playing. And they said, let's get a band. So we got a band. And I kept messing them up because I was still trying to learn everything. And they kept saying, don't give up in the rough spots because the good stuff's coming. And it did. And soon we jailed, and it was just awesome. We could think about each other what was going on. But that first couple of months, I got so discouraged because I felt like I was dragging everybody down, not realizing the cracks in my vessel. Not only was light shining through it, it was shining through it with musical notes. I'm here to tell you something.
Right now, some of y'all right now, you're ready to quit. You're ready to throw in the towel. And you see cracks all around you thinking, everybody can see my cracks. Well, they're not necessarily looking at your cracks. They're looking at the glory of God shining through your cracks. That's awesome. That is so, so awesome. So, why does God allow trials? Let me tell you something about a trial. You can think of a trial as a taxi cab. It's a taxi. Because, just like with Jonah, Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, but he decided to go to Tarshish. And so one's a 700-mile trip. That was 2,000 miles. And so there's no telling how far he was away from Nineveh on the way to Tarshish. But the storm came, and he told him, throw him over. He gets over, and the great fish actually protects him. He called it the belly of hell, but although it was the belly of hell, it was protecting him. He didn't get eaten by the other fish. It was stinky. It was smelly. There was all kinds. Can you imagine being in the belly of a whale with fish guts flying all around your head? And blood and all kinds of stuff flying around all the time. But that was it. Although it was stinky, he called it the belly of hell. It protected him. It guided him. And it was his taxi. Because when the whale finally spit him out, he spit him out where? Nineveh. Some of y'all right now, you don't understand what's going on right now. But I promise you, you're in a taxi and you got a destination. And when you get through your trial, wow, you're going to, whoa, that's what this was all about. That's why we had to go through this. That's why we had to go through all this mess. So, rather than despising your difficult seasons and your valleys, how about looking at them as opportunity for faith to move from just a theory to practical application? Man, oh man, oh man. You go to school and they teach you all this theory, whatever the theory is. Going to college, they teach you all this theory in psychology and in counseling and math and all this stuff, teach you all these theories. But it's when the rubber meets the road is when you see God's hand. So we're going from theory, what we learn on Sunday morning, and what we learn as we study, to something actually where we're putting the rubber on the road. So our faith has been tried, and it can be trusted. There's times when our dependence on God, when we're going through these things, you can let it drive you from God or let it deepen your relationship with God. I choose to let it deepen my relationship. And some of these seasons you don't understand is where God is developing your character. Get ready. I'm going to give you a hard one. Some of these name it, claim it preachers will have a hard time with this. God is more concerned with your character than he is your comfort. Anybody in here has ever been in the military or any kind of a boot camp of any kind? No. They ain't worrying about your comfort. Amen, Doug. They ain't worrying about. Did the dear sergeant say, can I help you out there, Doug? Mr. Doug, is there any way I can help you tote this heavy stuff on your back, 100-pound backpack? Can I help you as you run 20 miles? Let me get you on a truck and let you drive while everybody else is running. No. What did he say? Get it! God's promises will get you through every time. There's moments like these that God's presence becomes more precious than it's ever been before in your life. I love it. We'll be playing, and I'll see the Holy Ghost get on DC, and I'm looking. Y'all might not can see it, and I see the tears running down his face, and I go, get him, Lord. Let him feel it. Let him feel it. Let him feel it. Amen. There's times when I'm up here and I wouldn't just take and raise my hands because it's just so powerful to feel the presence of God. Or look over at Brandon, and Brandon's got it. Here he goes. I go, get him, Lord, get him. Because the presence of the Lord is so powerful as we begin to praise him. Now, every problem has a purpose. Little ones, inconsequential ones, irritating ones. How many's ever had an irritating valley or problem? God can teach you character, and He wants to change you, and He wants to mature you. Your faith is built in your valleys. Know that. Your faith isn't built on a mountaintop. Your faith is built in the valleys. The valley of the shadow of death. What does that mean other than for the shepherd, it was that long trail that below it could fall and everybody was gone and it was very narrow and the sun would come in and block it and it'd be dark as you're trying to lead these sheep to get to better pasture. The valley of the shadow of death to us represents dark, challenging times. But you got to remember something. Shadows have no real power compared to the power of light. Amen? So while death casts this significant shadow in our broken world, Jesus gives us this ultimate victory through the power of His life and His light. So now, yeah, we're getting ready to close. Getting ready. I told you we're going to just kind of slow. I love these slow introductions. And though I walk through the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. Psalm 23 and 4, New Living Translation. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. That rod is protection. That staff is guidance. And when you got God's protection and guidance, that brings me comfort in difficult times. You know, I've told y'all this probably years ago, but I was like in the third grade, fourth grade, maybe second grade, something like that. And I was in the second grade. And I've always had trouble sleeping. And so everybody was asleep. I'm laying on the bed. I can't sleep. I'm on the top bunk. And I get up to go to the bathroom. And this is in Chocowin. And as I get up to go to the bathroom, I hear on the back steps, and it walked up the steps and it moves closer to the door. And I'm in second grade and I hear that and I scream to the top of my lungs and I ran toward my daddy's bedroom. And my daddy already met me outside before he could get to the bedroom. I grabbed my daddy. I was so scared, I couldn't even talk. And you could still hear that. And my daddy grabbed me and said, "It's going to be okay, son. It's going to be okay." And my mama said, "Well, go see what it is." He weren't like some of these snowflakes today. "Mama, you go see what it is." Daddy said, "I'll go check it out." And so mama was holding me. And then he went to the back door and was still doing like that. You know what it was? Our neighbor's dog was looking for food. And he ran up on the back steps and his tail was hitting. I heard Daddy say, "Get on out of here!" I thought he didn't run a burglar away, and Daddy said it was the neighbor's dog. But you know something? Once I got to my daddy, everything changed. I felt okay. Now, God wants to use your dark valleys. Number one, as a testimony to encourage others. It's one thing for me to tell you about how good things can be. It's another thing to tell you I've been there. I'm going to tell you what God did for me. Also, this personal experience through these valleys enables your ministry to those in similar situations. God's light shines brighter in the darkness. And I thank God for that. And when others get to see how Christ can come through our response in difficulties. So, DC, come on up here. Look at this. God will take you through places you don't understand just to bring you to the place where He wants you to be. Trust Him. Joni Erica Tata, paralyzed from the neck down, became a masterful artist and author, and has touched millions of lives. Millions of lives. Think about that. That valley that she went in broke her neck. I thought it was kind of ironic, too, that the man who played Superman falls off a horse, breaks his neck. But he showed the world courage and faith and power in the middle of extreme circumstances. This week's challenge, instead of asking God to remove you from your valley, I tell people all the time, you know, you got the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, which is depressive thoughts in the past. You got the what if, what is, which is anxiety, anxious thoughts for the present. And then why, God, why? Instead of remove that why with what are you trying to teach me? Instead of why, what you trying to teach me? So, ask Him to show you how to use your current situation to grow closer to Him, to minister to others, to demonstrate His faithfulness, and to share His light for those in darkness. God's got you. He ain't let go of you. He hadn't forsaken you. He didn't let you go drift in a boat somewhere and went, bye-bye. Every last person in here has some valleys of the shadow of death that we have to go through. Some of them are daily. Some of them, at times, are even hourly. But you got to trust God in that valley because it's not going to last forever. God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. Everybody stand up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With every head bowed, every eye closed, who in here, first off, would say, either because all kinds of reasons, but especially because you've gone through some things and it drove you from God instead of to Him, if you're in this place today and you need to draw closer to God, but nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, I really need to draw closer to God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. But nobody looking around, every head bowed. How many would be bold enough to say, I'm facing some valleys right now and it's not looking good and I'm glad to know that God's got me, but still pray for me because these valleys hurt. They bring pain. They bring all kinds of stuff. And I really need God to help me and shine His light through me in this valley. If I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around, put those hands up. I'm going through these valleys and I really, really, really need God to shine through me. Just remember, it's in your cracked spots that God's light shines. You heard me say it a million times. I don't trust a leader that doesn't have a limp. He's had to have been through something. If he's going to go with me, he's going to have been through something, because that limp shows that he went through something and he survived. And he rose and God's got him. Let's pray together right now. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well and on the throne. And God, although I feel the fury of the valley, I'm not going to release my hold of your hand, because I know you won't release my hand. I ask you, God, to help me stand strong in these trials and know a better day is coming. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your comfort. I thank you for your guidance. I thank you for your protection. And I thank you that you're walking right beside me through this valley. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay. I'm anointing. There it is. Lord, touch Lee right now. He's your servant. He's doing his best to please you. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch him in a very powerful way. Use him in a way like never before. And even this valley that he's going through, let it be something that propels him, that shows your light. Use him, and God, heal him right now. Touch his family. Protect and guide them and comfort them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Hold on, we got another one. The Lord back. Don't put his hand on the back. Lord, touch my brother right now. Heal his body. Make him every whole from his front to his back. Lord, let him feel your power and your anointing right now. We know, God, you got this, and we trust you with you, your hand on my brother. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We got another one. We got one more. Come on up here, young lady. There you go. You touch the other. Can you go up here and touch, get her other side? Touch her. Ready? Just in the back. In the back. You ready? You are so beautiful. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you for ministering to my sister and touch her knees, touch her leg, touch her back. And I thank you for it right now. And I know you got it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You got this, girl. God's got this. God's got this. You know, I remember how, I can't tell you how many times when Bethany had cancer, she come in here, and I know that either Jeannie or me or a mother or somebody had just changed bandages, and she'd had a bad morning and she'd been throwing up like nobody's business. And she'd come in here and somebody'd ask her, how's she doing? And she'd just smile and say, God's got this. God's got it. If we can get that in our mind, no matter how deep that valley is, no matter how low it is, no matter how wide it is, God's got this. We're going to be okay. Amen? Amen. I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And then I'm going to ask Brother Benny to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? This was the introduction. So next week is the second part of this, all right? Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,